Hello again, Stuart, Jody and Casper the dog here again. This week we're focusing on Christian Aid Week because this coming Sunday is the start of Christian Aid Week. There's a bit in the service where you have water and wash your hands with some soap. So if you want to stop it now and get a bowl of water with some soap, or if you have a phone that you can take to the sink and you're not the sink and your phone won't fall in the sink, then you could use that as an alternative. So you can press pause now and stop if you want to. So welcome to our worship. Today is the beginning of Christian Aid Week. Like many church activities at the moment, Christian Aid Week is being done differently and digitally this year. During this time together, we'll have space to read and listen, sing and pray, and remember and acknowledge that we are part of a global community. We are neighbours near and far who are going through this coronavirus pandemic together. May our shared experience unite us in praise and prayer as one human family, separate but together in the home that is God's world. God of all the earth, be present with us now in each of our homes as we connect together. Build us into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to you through Jesus Christ, our risen Redeemer and Healer. Amen. In the order of service now, we're going to sing a song. It says, "Let us build a house where all can dwell." Me and Jody are not going to sing this. We've had a link to the people who are church members to this song, so you can look at it online if you haven't received that email because you're listening in other ways, then just do a Google search for the song, "Let Us Build a House Where All Can Dwell." It may seem strange to sing the lyric, "All are welcome in this place," at a time when no one is welcome into our homes, except those who live there, or collective worship in our church building. However, at this time more than ever, we are learning that the church is not the building, but it is us, the people. Peter calls us living stones in his epistle. Though separate, we can build up together into a spiritual house where love can dwell and be lived out in our everyday actions. We now move to a prayer of confession and absolution. How many times have you washed your hands today? I don't know, it's Friday morning on VE Day, and I've probably washed my hands about 4 to 5 times already. As we approach our prayer of confession and absolution, mindful of the ritual significance of hand washing in the Bible. Hand washing in Scripture is closely associated with innocence and cleansing from sin, as in Exodus 30, 17 to 21, or Psalm 26, verse 6, or Job chapter 9, verse 30, or Matthew 27, verse 24, or James 4, verse 8, to mention a few. You may wish to take your device to your sink as we pray this prayer together, or bring a bowl of water, some soap and a towel to a safe distance before your computer, or simply join in this prayer as you listen to the ritual of hand washing. As we turn on the tap, we turn our hearts towards you, O God. As we wet our hands, renew our thoughts so that we might be transformed. As we lather soap between fingers and all over our hands, purge us from all that brings us harm and harm to others. Remove the invisible guilt and shame that so often keeps us from you. As we rinse our hands, we trust in your overflowing grace, making all things new. Amen. Just dry my hands now. And now Jody is going to bring our scripture reading This is an extract from the long farewell that Jesus gave over the Last Supper, shortly after he washed the feet of his disciples with his own hands. Even though we are now in the fifth Sunday of Easter, these words have a poignancy and a power for us to absorb this process, this Christian eight-week Sunday. Listen now to the word of God from John 14, verses 1 to 14. John 14, verses 1 to 14.
Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me, who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord, as we reflect on your word and see how it relates to us on this Christian Aid Sunday, we pray that your Spirit would take the words of Scripture and the words that I say, and minister into our lives, that we also may be good news to the poor, as Jesus was, in whose name we pray. Amen. So this Sunday marks the beginning of Christian Aid Week, but there'll be no door-to-door collections. It's not something I particularly enjoy doing, door-to-door collections, because people can be a bit rude or slam the door in your face, and it's not always easy, but I always felt the desire to do it because I knew it would be a blessing to the poor and those who have greater needs than me. So although I didn't enjoy doing it, I always felt that God empowered me to do it and gave me the strength to do it. During this lockdown that we're going through, we have relative comfort. We have roofs over our head, we have running water, electricity, food on our tables. We don't suffer some of the privations that other people in parts of the world are going through due to the lockdown in relation to the coronavirus at the moment. Imagine being in the refugee camps of the Rohingya people in Bangladesh, or in a shanty town in Brazil, trying to socially distance yourself from others. My thoughts are very much with my friends in Nicaragua and Central America at the moment, where they have a government that isn't practicing social distancing and isn't taking the right type of precautions in relation to this virus, and who have a much more fragile health system. And I fear for their well-being and their future. So on this Christian Aid Week, we need to remember our global neighbours at this time, and not just our domestic neighbours. It seems to us that the news is just about what happens with coronavirus here in the UK, and we've become quite insular at this time and forgetting about the wider world and what they are going through in these days and times. So we need to have a wider perspective than just our own national concerns or local concerns and the global concerns of God for his world. At this time, we do have troubled hearts. And Jesus' words in verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, speaks to us that we do have troubled hearts, that we do need to believe and trust in God and in Jesus at this time. But our troubled hearts should not blind us to the greater needs of others in our own society and globally as well. The words from chapter 14 of John's Gospel are often used in funerals. In verse 2, it says, my Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? There are many rooms in the Father's house. In heaven, there is room for all. There's room for all people there if they choose to respond. It's not limited by time or space or size, because in eternity, there is place for all who want to come into God's presence. And it's Jesus also says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. So Jesus goes to prepare a place for us who are his disciples. And that should help to free us from our fears about our ultimate destiny and security. I've got three funerals coming up in the next few weeks. My first one is on Tuesday. And these words remind us that Jesus has prepared a place for those who believe and trust in him. And it's good to know this in these times of death, these times of sorrow and mourning in many ways. These words bring great comfort to us. But what about a place here and now upon the earth before we die? Christian Aid has a slogan that it's used in recent years saying, we believe in life before death. Now, that does not deny life after death and heaven. But as the theologian Dominic Crossan says, heaven's okay. It's earth that is in a mess and needs to be transformed. And we could leave heaven to God, because that's God's business anyway. But here on the earth, we can do things to change it, to make it reflect greater God's kingdom and God's purposes. There should be a place also on this earth where God's children can live in dignity, where the poor can have a dignified life, where they have food and education and work and shelter and all the things that we want for ourselves. And also when we think more locally or nationally, at the moment, homeless people, like the people that we take meals to at the homeless shelter in Northampton, they're in hotels at the moment and have shelter. But what's going to happen when the hotels go back to their normal business? They'll be back out on the streets. We've managed to house them in this crisis. Why can't we manage to house them in normal times, so to speak? We will be heading into hard times economically in the coming months and years as a result of this crisis. We'll be going through a recession, perhaps even a depression economically. And will we be concerned then about the needs of the poor, both locally and globally then? I don't know about your economic circumstances as you listen to this sermon. For some listening, the lack of income may be starting to pinch, especially for the self-employed who haven't had wages coming in the last 6 to 8 weeks. For others, Jody and myself included, you will have more disposable income as we haven't been out putting petrol in our car, buying coffees, going to restaurants, pubs, cinemas, concerts, shopping in different ways. And what are you, or what are we doing with that extra money? Why not give a costly donation, a sacrificial donation to Christian Aid, who are now responding in Africa and Asia and Latin America, working with local partners there in health education, responding to this crisis, offering health care and aid to those in need at these desperate times, to refugees from the Rohingya people in Bangladesh and in Africa and Latin America and other parts of the Southern Hemisphere where the need is greater. We can help them at this time. I'm reminded from the passage in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 24, where King David was offered a place for free. And he said, no, I'm not going to offer God offerings that cost me nothing. So he paid for the place to make an altar and a sacrifice to God there. He didn't want it for free, even though he was offered it for free. And likewise, we shouldn't offer God offerings that cost us nothing. Often with Christian Aid, you go around and visit people door to door and they give you a few coppers that are just in their pocket. It's an offering that costs them nothing. But we should offer offerings that cost us a bit, that hurt us a bit, that make the difference, that we notice, that we go without in some ways, that others may be blessed. One of the verses that really struck me in this passage is verse 12, where it says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Now, what does this mean? Well, Jesus, when he was here on earth, did wonderful miracles and set people free and fed the hungry. But he was limited in those 3 years of ministry round about AD 30 in Palestine. But after his resurrection, he is now liberated to be present in and through other people by his Spirit. And now Jesus in and through us is doing greater things than he could ever do during his 3 years here upon the earth. He's now feeding millions of people through aid work, through Christian Aid and other organizations feeding the poor, when before he fed the 5,000. Now he's feeding millions. And think of the healthcare that has been done in Jesus's name. Think of the hospitals which were founded by monks and nuns initially before we had the NHS. And the healthcare has its roots there within Christian care for the vulnerable, for those in need. Think of the education that has been flowing out from Christian roots as well, educating billions of people, teaching them to read and write throughout history. That's a greater miracle as well. Or the miracle of ending slavery, those who worked for the abolition of slavery, William Wilberforce and the black people who resisted themselves against slavery, they were empowered to do that. Or the ending of apartheid in South Africa, we think of the Christian involvement in that. Or women's equality and women's suffrage, the right to vote, the women who stood up for that. Think of that and the change and the miracles that have happened there. What about today's challenges? We think of the challenges of climate change, of poverty, of war. Jesus in and through us can transform these situations. He is alive and at work through his people. Will we cooperate with him today? The least we can do is to give a costly donation to Christian Aid. And those of you who are church members would have got a link to be able to go to the website to give directly online. If you don't have that, it's www.christianaid.org.uk. So christianaid.org.uk. Or you could write a check, or you could put some cash aside to give to me or Rosie, our treasurer, and we'll make sure it gets there. We may be stuck in our houses at the moment, but our money can get to work doing good for the poorest in the world during this crisis. There is no door-to-door collection. But let's give even more than usual and do even greater things than before. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your generosity to us in that you've given us many blessings. And the greatest blessing you have given us is the blessing of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. We can't do anything to earn that salvation, that gift. But as a token of our gratitude, we can give to those in need and be a blessing to them. So help us this Christian Aid Week to be a blessing in using our finances to be a blessing and liberation to the poor in need in this time of crisis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to spend a moment responding, and I'd like to invite you to look at your hands. Our hands really are the most remarkable and useful tools involved in so much of what we do and how we do things. The psalmist writes of committing his spirit into God's hands, and at times of being in God's hands. He also describes his desire to be delivered from the hands of his oppressors and from a hidden invisible net that threatens to entangle him. Let us pray together using our open hands.
Prayers of lament and intercession. God, our refuge, we come to you with open hands. Some of us with hearts full of questions. Some of us bruised by bereavement. Some of us fearful of what the future holds. All of us stunned by the events of this year. Draw close to us now in each of our homes as we place our honest questions and hopes into your open, resurrected yet scarred hands. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With the honesty of the psalmist, the wrestling questions of Job, and the lament of the prophets, we bring to you our questions or our silence. Hold your index finger and in silence ask the question that most burdens your heart, or simply sit in silence before God. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear the cry of our hearts, Lord, silent and aloud, for bereaved neighbours near and far. Comfort those pained by being absent. Hold close those who are hurting alone. Hold your ring finger and pray for comfort for those you know who are bereaved, or simply sit in silence before God. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In this season of Easter, renew us with resurrection hope, that while weeping lingers in this night, joy will come in the morning. Hold your middle finger, and in the silence tell God what you are most looking forward to in the future, or simply sit in silence before God. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. On this Christian Aid Week Sunday, we pray for and with communities across the world who are most vulnerable to coronavirus. We pray for people living in refugee camps and city slums with limited sanitation facilities, who are unable to wash their hands regularly and have little opportunity to isolate from others. We pray for Christian Aid partners working to provide soap and buckets, communicating clear, accurate information, raising the voices of the most vulnerable, and ensuring that they are kept as safe as possible. Hold your thumb as you pray for the most vulnerable, those closest to God's heart, or simply sit in silence before God. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those of us self-isolating, which can sometimes feel like we aren't doing anything, remind us that we are doing what we can. We're playing our part and saving lives by staying at home. Hold your little finger and ask God for what you need, or simply sit in silence before God. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for much wisdom and resources for those in local and national authority, for all frontline and key workers here in Britain, Ireland, and across the world. Put your hands together and pray for the many frontline workers and volunteers, and for Christian Aid partners working to help others across the world, or simply sit in silence before God. As we have clapped to honour them, we clap our hands now in praise of your glorious creation, and with the hope that the first shoots of another world are coming into view. So clap your hands now in praise of God's glorious creation and the hope of new possibilities for our world. God, in your mercy, hear all our prayers. Amen. Amen. Let's now say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. As we go offline and wash our hands again, we say our blessing together. May the presence of the Creator refresh you. May the comfort of the Son renew you. May the inspiration of the Spirit restore you to be love in action, even from a distance, in our neighbourhoods, near and far, this day and forevermore. Amen.